You're listening to the 1 Minute Writing Tip, a podcast that gives you tips on how to overcome writer's block, overwhelm, and self-doubt, learn how to accomplish your God-given book idea, even if you're a busy mompreneur, confidently publish to bestseller, and use your book as a tool for impact and for purpose. We have a variety of episodes with interviews from best-selling authors in the industry, experts who have tools and tricks to help you succeed, and of course, recommendations from me, your host, Caitlin Silva. You can find even more resources on wewritebooks.com, where you can also take advantage of your complimentary bestseller assessment to get a step-by-step roadmap to accomplish your bestseller and beyond. So let's get into today's episode. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the 1 Minute Writing Tip Podcast. I am excited for today's author guest. I'm talking to Elizabeth Cottrell. She is someone who is, you know, coming from a background in leprosy research, which is really interesting. And her career took her from that to stay-at-home mom to then community leader and speaker, serving in nonprofit and corporate boards, to finally freelance writer and editor and blogger at heartspoken.com. So that sounds like such an incredibly interesting journey, which I cannot wait to dive into and hear about. So she is now the author of Heartspoken, How to Write Notes That Connect, Comfort, Encourage, and Inspire. And above all, she is a connector and encourager whose passion for note writing is coming at just the right time to a world forced into isolation by the pandemic in 2020. And you know how things have just developed since then. And she just wants to remind us that we are hardwired for connection. Her Heartspoken movement helps readers find their own heartspoken voice and learn to harness their own note writing superpower. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Caitlin. It's been I've been really looking forward to it and have enjoyed so much your other interviews, and you've just got a wonderful community.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. So will you just kind of share a little bit more about that journey that you went through from researcher all the way to, you know, all the different things you pursued and then finally to where you are today?
Well, you know, it's so interesting to look at it in retrospect because, so at the time you sort of do what life throws at you in a way. So the leprosy, I was a biology major and have a master's degree in human anatomy. But when my husband was in his residency, I needed to work. So I did get a job as a research lab supervisor doing leprosy research. So 2 years in that was fascinating, loved it. But then when he finished his training and we moved to the community in Virginia where we live now, I was qualified to teach anatomy in a nursing school or medical school. And guess what? We were in a rural area. There were no such places. And so I jumped into community work, and also we started our family. So I'm just grateful for every little bit. And as now a writer, I think every piece of our life is fodder, fuel, inspiration in a way. And of course, those of us with a Christian background believe God was with us every step of the way. So the most recent, then I did technical writing for several years when it was time to put the kids through school, college. And that was very enjoyable. And I've always done nonfiction writing. When my husband retired, I decided to shift gears myself and started asking myself questions, asking in prayer, what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And so, all of that has led me to where I am now. And when it's time, I'll share the story of how the book came to be. But it's been a wonderful journey, and I'm grateful for every step of the way, the good and the bad.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you shared there on how, like, you kind of look at it differently in retrospect, in hindsight. You know, it's like that old phrase, hindsight 2020 of perfect vision. You know, when you're in the thick of it, that is definitely not the case. But I also love what you shared that, you know, God is with us every step of the way. And even when we don't see it or we don't understand it, or it's like, God, like, why is this happening? You know, it's learning to trust him and know that he does guide your steps and he does work things for good. And he does have a purpose, you know, through the challenges. And so I love that you just approached it from a place of prayer and like, okay, God, like, what do you want to do next? You know,
exactly.
So That's really beautiful. So, exactly. So do talk to me about the book though. Like, how did that come to be and how did that develop as part of that journey?
Well, I had always been a note writer. I'm of the age that's what I was taught to do. My mothers and my grandmother, my mother and my grandmothers were beautiful note writers. And people, friends that got my notes would make lovely comments about how nice a note writer I was, but I didn't think a whole lot about it. But one day, about 15 years ago, I got a note from a stranger that changed my perspective on note writing being way more than just a nice thing to do and good manners. The letter was from a woman whose son had just committed suicide. And I didn't know her. I didn't know her son, but I knew her son's fiance. And I had written that young woman a sympathy note. Well, she shared my note with the mother. And the mother wrote me the most anguished, sweet, poignant note I've ever received about how the note saved her. She read it 25 times and a light bulb went on in my head about the importance, the impact. This was somebody I hadn't even written to myself. It was a ripple effect. And so that began a process of realizing it was important. So in my own writing, I became more thoughtful, more prolific a writer. And people continued to say, oh, you write such notes, nice notes. I don't never know what to say. How do you know what to say? And finally, somebody said, why don't you write a book? It sure would help me. Well, that, of course, was another nudge from God that I didn't take action on right away. 2020, April, my 70th birthday. 2 months after, well, really 1 month after COVID, the pandemic shut the world down. My daughter called me for my birthday and she said, Mom, I know that your calendar has gone from completely full to completely empty, just like everybody else's. And I want you to get that book out of your head and written. And to make sure that you do for your birthday, I'm giving you time with a friend of mine who's an accountability coach. She's going to call you every Friday to find out what you've done and what you haven't done and what you're going to do before she calls again. Well, that was the most beautiful, thoughtful, generous gift she could have given me, because I will do things for other people, but I won't do things for myself. And that I couldn't let her down. I had to write the book. So that book got written the first year of COVID. And then it took me another year to figure out what to do with it. And I wish to goodness I had found you during that period of time. But it was published in July of 2022 by Kohler Books, in Virginia Beach.
Wow. That is so amazing how it came from something very real, right? And something that had a deep impact on somebody else's life. I think it's often like very easy to get, even in your own head, or in your case, your book was kind of born out of that. But I think also for a lot of our listeners, I know there's people who want to write a book, but they don't realize like the impact their book is going to have. And it's so easy to like hold back and be like, oh, I'm scared, or like, what if I invest all this stuff and it doesn't have that reach, or it doesn't have that result or whatever. And it can be kind of like, it can be daunting to just jump in and do it. And I love what you shared about how your daughter just gave you that coach and like gave you that gift and was like, all right, now is the time. I think there's many people that did have a lot of shifts in 2020 on things they've been putting off for sure. So I think that's so important and so powerful about what you can do when you have a shift in priorities and you have that accountability and you are recognizing the importance of what you're doing, even beyond yourself. Because to your point, if you do something just for yourself, it is easy to justify putting it off or not doing it or making excuses or letting everything else in the world come up except the thing that you actually need to be doing, but then it's like whenever you have to turn in a paper or, you owe something to your boss or whatever, it's like that outside accountability. You're like, oh, I actually have to do it now. And you can't just justify,
That's a great analogy. Yeah, absolutely. And probably the biggest voice in my head that I had to overcome was, why does anybody care? And surely that book has been written, But of course, mm-hmm. my book had not been written. And and I had a perspective that was really different. It was not an etiquette book, although I believe in etiquette. I believe etiquette is the glue that holds society together. But this was a book to help readers find their own voice, not for me to tell them what to say, but to find their own voice. Because once you do that, then you're never lacking for the right words. And so confidence is a big thing, to overcome as a writer. It's mm-hmm. a big of a book writer, of a note writer, of a letter writer, any kind. Absolutely. So yeah. Learned a lot of lessons. And boy, what you just said about that great pause of COVID having us all shift gears. And I wrote letters and the notes that year myself that I would never. I wrote to every one of my four siblings to let them know how much I appreciated them, just because even though we're all older adults now, I had never told them. And COVID made it very real that we might not live through this thing. So,
right. Life is right. Life I mean, yeah. Interesting. As scripture says, none of us are promised tomorrow. You know, it's none of us know when that's going to happen. And so it's kind of like very sobering actually to think about it and be like, oh, where is my time going? Like, where are my priorities? What are the things that I'm focusing on that really don't have that much significance in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah.
And, you know, what do I need to shift and prioritize so that the big things that I know I want to do with my life that are at least accomplished, you know?
Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah. And one of the things you said that really resonated with me is that you, in looking back, you have a different perspective than when you're in the middle of it. And looking back, I could see many times over the last 25 years that God had nudged me in this direction and I had not recognized it, or even if I recognized it, I didn't take action. And so that would be one thing I would urge writers of faith to do, is to pay attention to those nudges. Now, if I'm journaling after I've been praying, if something feels like a nudge, I'll put it in red ink mm-hmm. so I can go back and say, have I taken action on this? Was this really a nudge or just my, you know, so.
Right. Yeah. And that's such a good point too, is that, you know, we all have a calling and a divine purpose that God intended when he created us. And I think it's so many people, you know, they do spend their life doing all the things they think they should be doing, or they like the things that, you know, that maybe society said or parents said, or just pressures of life or whatever. And they don't really take that like to pause in that time to ask God, like, hey, God, what do you want me to be doing? And inviting him into every facet of that, like seeking him in prayer, asking him for that guidance, and then taking a step of faith. And that's been a frequent conversation I've been having, you know, recently, just in general with people, is the importance of when you feel like God is calling you to something, like taking that next step of faith. And I just want to say, like, praise God for his faithfulness, that he doesn't give up on us and he doesn't get frustrated. I mean, maybe he does, but you know, if we like aren't listening or we're not getting it, he just gently like keeps pushing until we get there, you know? And I just love that we have such a faithful God who is so perfect in every way, and that he, you know, he does get us there, you know, and he still uses it in his plan, in his purpose, in his timing, you know, for good in our lives, even when we mess up or miss the mark or, you know, delay or whatever. And so I do also with you urge people and writers, especially like, you know, Christian women and aspiring authors, you know, if you feel that calling, stop putting it off, because someday doesn't exist. And it's better to just do it now and then have the book done to work with, than, you know, to keep putting it off and then wish you had done it. And, you know, and think of all the lives you could impact now if it's done, versus, you know, the ones that were missed because you didn't do it. You know, there's always like that,
absolutely,
that cost.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Caitlin, another short story that may help some of your listeners, because I was so science oriented, I just sort of never even thought of myself as a quote artist or a creative of any kind. Literally, I mean, into my 40s and 50s, that was not a way I identified myself. And And so I had actually a little fun exercise with a group of friends that we were like, it was called Play in May. We were trying to learn to be more creative and playful. And the leader said, now I want you all to go through your house and get all your colored markers and all your glue and glitter. And I was thinking, yeah, I don't have any of that kind of stuff in my house. And she said, well, why not? And she said, because I don't know. It feels like a waste of time. And finally she said, well, if you had a blank piece of paper, what would you want to do with it? And just like an instant, I thought, I want to put words on it. And it was like a shift in my mind about, well, words, that's being creative. You know, it's not the same as a painting, but it is creative. So if anybody thinks they're not creative, think again, because there is a way that you are probably creative.
Yeah, I love that so much. Like there's kind of conventional and then there's unconventional. And actually, I kind of wanted to go back to something you said earlier, which was that, you know, whenever you're approaching your writing, it's that thought of like, oh, well, maybe the world doesn't need mine, right? But it does. And I think it's so important for writers to recognize, and this is easier said than done, but really to let this sink in, that each person has a unique voice and experience and story and style and like way of saying things that will impact people in a different way than anybody else in the world can do so.
Absolutely.
And God wants to use every single person according to the gifts that he's given them to, you know, reach other people in a specific way.
And of course, the other absolutely God hug from this whole experience has been, not only have I felt that I have touched people I wouldn't have touched otherwise, but I have met people who have touched me that I wouldn't have met otherwise. It's been a wonderful journey.
Yeah, I love that so much. It's true. I one thing I like to say when I'm doing trainings and talking to people about books is that a book is so much more than just the book, right? It's so many things, but one of those things is it's kind of like a doorway into this whole world of opportunity and connections and all of that that you never would have known existed had you not taken that step and actually accomplished that book. So on that note of connection through the book, I want to ask you, why do you say that your book about note writing is really about connection?
It is about connection because note writing is a connection tool. And I believe my life has had four essential connections. One is with God, one is with myself, one is with others, and one is with nature. And I often find that when my life feels like it's on the off kilter in any way, I can almost always look to one of those four essential connections and realize it needs some work. And as I was exploring my connection with others, I realized that this thing that I had been doing all my life was in fact a connection tool. And what's been fascinating to me is, of course, we think of it as sympathy notes and thank you notes, but the ways that we can reach out and encourage people for random reasons. And the other group that has embraced my book that I was not expecting is salespeople. They are realizing that before they can sell, they've got to connect. And so the tools that they need to connect certainly ought to include pen and paper. So that's the connection. And it feels really as much like a ministry to me as anything. That's why I call it a heart-spoken movement. I just think people need all the tools they can get. And this is just one of them.
Yeah. No, I love that so much. And I think to your point, especially since the, you know, what happened in 2020, where everything kind of shut down and shifted, I think so many people ended up going online during that time because, you know, businesses were shut down, people were in their homes, all those things. I feel like, you know, social media has just exploded. I mean, it had before, but, you know, even more people are engaged with it now. People are launching businesses. People are trying to do these different things all online. And I feel like there's always pros and cons. And there's like, you know, sure, you're talking to people from the other side of the world that you otherwise probably never would have ever known existed or talked to. Or, you know, there's ways to keep in touch with family members or friends that you haven't seen in a long time or whatever. But at the same time, I feel like in many ways, people are online more than ever and they're lonelier more than ever. Like they feel disconnected because you can't get that real tangible, like face-to-face feeling the same way online that you can just getting a coffee date with someone, like in real person, you know?
No question. And, no question. No, yeah. even Zoom, which is much better than just audio. But even Zoom is not quite the same. Right. And I think you're absolutely right. And I really try to make a point. There are people that just really resist handwritten notes, which of course, if you read my book, you'll have no doubt that's what I love. But I think any kind of a note, whether it's typed or stuck in an envelope, you know, printed, whatever, I think it can be heart spoken, just like a face to face conversation can be heart spoken. So,
yeah.
So I think that we get hung up on rules and, you know, expectations and terminology, but if it's all about love and it's all about connection.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even just sending a random text, you know, out of the blue can sometimes be just make someone's day. And I think
I do that. That's absolutely all hearts, part of the heart spoken message for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It just says to someone else, I see you, I'm thinking about you, I care about you, you know, and it's beautiful. And I think for me, I know whenever I receive those, it definitely warms my day. And sometimes I have struggled with time, you know, because I'm a mama of little ones and I've got, you know, all these different things going on and it's been weeks, you know, and I haven't talked to someone, but then just sending that message or just kind of a light touch reconnection can really just, you know, be the only thing that's needed to recognize, okay, it's okay. Like life is busy. You know, we have things going on, but I still care about you. Like I still think about you. I still, you know, want to know what's going on in your world, even if it's, you know, distant or, you know, elapsed in time. So
absolutely. Yeah. And you touched on something really important for people to realize. And that is there are seasons of our lives that we can, you know, when I had young children, there's no way I could have written the number of notes that I write now.
Right.
And we need to stop beating ourselves up and just do what we can.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. I am a firm believer in giving ourselves the same measure of grace and compassion that we receive from the Lord. I'm like, guys, give yourself some grace, you know,
absolutely.
Recognizing the season you're in. Absolutely. Yes. So talk to me about if you have any upcoming projects that you are working on right now or that you want to talk about.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I really am. I don't know that I'll ever write another book, but I'm absolutely committed to the message of this book and helping people digest it in ways that that are helpful. So I'm definitely going to be creating, have already started creating what I call little guides, Heartspoken's little guides. There'll be one for sympathy notes, one for thank you notes. There'll be one for the other kinds of connections. So the people that follow my newsletter will be in the loop on all of those. I've got a couple of things coming up for my 1 year anniversary of my book in July. So I think mostly for a while, I'm going to be making sure that I have provided the tools to get the message of my book.
Mm, I love that. That's really cool. I think it's really valuable whenever you have a book and then you kind of have a guide that goes with it that implements the lessons from the book. And so that's really exciting. So if people are listening and they're thinking, wow, I definitely need that in my life, I would love to connect further with Elizabeth. How can they do that?
Thank you so much. My website, heartspoken.com. And if you do /newsletters, I have two. One is more about the general connections and one is more about the note writing. So pays your money and takes your choice, but they're both free.
Yeah, I love that. I am definitely going to be diving in with the note taking for sure. I love writing notes as well. So for all my listeners, if you do want to learn more about Heartspoken and her movement and Elizabeth, definitely do go to her website and check out her book and get a copy. You know, I'm sure it's going to be immensely valuable for you in your life. So I will include all those details in the description for you guys. Elizabeth, thank you so much again for coming on. It's been really wonderful to have you.
It has been just a joy. Thank you so much, Caitlin.
Yeah. So for all my listeners, thank you also for tuning in. Please do leave a review wherever you're listening from, and I hope to see you on the next episode. Thanks so much again for tuning in to the 1 Minute Writing Tip podcast. I hope this episode gave you some great things to consider and helped you make just another shift to be able to accomplish your writing goals. If you'd like to connect further, go to wewritebooks.com or take the opportunity to get your complimentary bestseller assessment to help you finally dig into where your biggest challenges have been, map out the best next steps for you, and get my personal recommendation so that you can accomplish your writing goals. Go to wewritebooks.com/bestseller assessment, and I can't wait to connect with you further from there. Remember to like and comment below on this episode, and I will see you on the next one.